That's right, as hard as it may be to believe, another week has come and gone, and we're already back. The congregation is back once again. The boys are back in town. The Parish of the Patriots, 181st installment. As I say every week, I'm glad you joined us here. Whatever, however you found your way here, whether you've been listening for years or it's your first time, I'm glad to have you here. We're glad to have you here. We're going to have a fun discussion, no doubt. It's always the plan. I never come into this planning. I hope it's a really shitty show. We're going to have a great discussion. We're having a lot of fun. If it is your first time stopping by, we do have a Christian-specific segment. There is a name. There's a reason we have the name Parish of the Patriots. We do have a Christian-specific segment. That's in the roughly middle mark of the show. We kind of just split it in two. It varies. Sometimes we spend a little more time on the Christian-specific segment, sometimes a little less. But we make it all fit together, so I do encourage you to stick around for that. It won't be like going to your modern cut church. We always try to have a fun and interesting Christian discussion. This is the part of the show, of course, where I pass the offering plate around. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. It is really, really appreciated. We don't put anything behind a paywall. There's no annoying ads. It's just you get what you get, and we pass the plate around and ask that if you get something out of the show, drop something in the plate. It's easy to do. If you'll look at the description page here on Radio Albin and slow scroll down, you'll come to the fact that we have snail mail. We also have a Bitcoin. We have Monero. So, and we got the email address there, and you can drop your notes in there. And also, if you have a different cryptocurrency, drop me an email. More than likely, I can get you an address for that. And so, with all of that having been said, that means that's our cue. This time to get into this week's listener supporter mailbag. GPD, God bless and keep you. Putin 2024. That is from Mr. T. Yes, Putin 2024 indeed. Honestly, I would take President Z 2024, but we're not going to get that. I don't think they're going to do Biden because you notice he's got COVID again. They said he's got COVID again. Like, they came out and said he had COVID. It's like, you notice the pattern, like when he comes out and says something like really off script and embarrassing, then all of a sudden he has COVID and he disappears for a while. Then they roll him back out. Well, it's like the times between rollouts and COVID are getting shorter. Like, they rolled him out in like a week, 10 days, something like that. Later, they said he has bounce back COVID. What is that? Whoa, it's a new term. We got a new term, bounce back COVID. You see, you're negative and everything is good, but then it bounces back. It's a good thing he's got, you know, 500 vaccinations and booster shots or whatever the hell he's got. He's got bounce back COVID. They just make up these new terms all the time, bounce back COVID. So you got the COVID, then you don't have the COVID, but then the COVID sneaks back up. I think it just has to be related to with, like, they can't medicate him anymore. They got to keep him out. I mean, really, this is something I think about. Like, he could be like dead or in a coma, and they'd just be telling everybody, well, he's got COVID, and you're not going to know. Is the media going to investigate? Got to keep him out of sight. Hi, Dan. Just wanted to say hi and hoping your health gets better soon. So many people are watching for the next problem to hit our nation. It reminds me of when I was young and got into trouble. My mom would wait till dad got home to get a spanking. The waiting for the punishment was worse than the spanking. Since the COVID scam, even though things are quiet now, I always seem to have a little extra bit of anxiety. Clown world is really testing our faith and strength. Hoping for Christ's return soon before the insanity gets any worse. May God bless you and yours. And that's from Tony, and very much appreciated. Yes, in clown world, we have one thing to look forward to. One thing to look forward to, and that is that things are going to be worse tomorrow. Old enough to remember when we didn't go around thinking, you know, we went around assuming that things were going to get better, not worse, but not so in clown world. Clown world, we always know what's the next thing going to be. As I started to say earlier, we're not going to get Biden, I don't think, in 2024. But I mean, what are we going to get? We're not going to get somebody normal. Kamala Harris, they're talking about Newsom out of California because he's done such a great job there. Things are just going to get worse. It's amazing. I talk to, like, if you talk to people that are old or older than you, you know, and they're used to these things like being not as worse and being cyclical. And they're like, oh, it'll turn around. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. And I'm being polite, but I'm thinking to myself, yeah, no, this isn't the same as it was before. obviously we're rolling downhill at a much higher rate. You know, you look at cyclical things. I mean, yes, you had a stagflation, inflation, whatever you would call it, back in the 70s. This is true. But we didn't have gay pride parades and you know, constant promotion of more and more degeneracy. It was there, but wasn't at this level. So anyway, very much appreciate it. We do have one more from the listener supporter mailbag, but I'm saving that one for the Christian specific segment. So that we'll wrap up listener supporter mailbag for there. You know, here at Radio Album, I'm saying for the show, I was thinking about how here at Radio Album, you know, we're big on history. You know, Radio Album, one of the themes here is that we're big on history. We have, for instance, we have the patriotic history. I always have to catch myself because I want to do like, you know, the British, like, you know, Sven says patriotic, you know, but we say patriotic. Patriotic history. We're the patriotic history series. We're the patriotic history series, you know. And, you know, it's very good stuff. If you never checked it out, you know, and then go all the way back to ancient Phoenicia and talking about ancient Phoenicia. It's interesting stuff. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson is an Orthodox nationalist, and you might think you don't care about, I don't know, like some cleric from the 1600s or something, you know, somebody from the Byzantine Empire, but you will care about it when you hear about it. It's good stuff. We have good stuff here at Radio Album. We're big on history. See, I'm about history too. You may not believe it. You may think that I'm not, but this show, we got to change the name, the Parish of the Historical Parish of the Patriots, because I am big on history too. You can listen to patriotic history and you learn about the Phoenician Empire. You can listen to the Orthodox nationalists and learn about some Russian saint that you never heard of from the 1700s or something. And it's all interesting stuff. But you see, we go really deep into ancient history here at the Parish of the Patriots. You see, Sven and Matt are both, I consider them both friends. So I can do bants like this and have a little fun with it without sitting here worrying about, I hope they're not going to get mad and think I'm making fun of them. You see, we have a sense of humor. Here at the Parish of the Patriots, we delve into true deep history, such as, I don't know, the ancient times of, let's go ahead and say, 4 years ago. We're really getting into ancient history. Forget Phoenicia, ancient Phoenicia. We're talking about real ancient history of 4 years ago. Now you can laugh and say, how does that make it? We talk about 4 years ago, you goofy SOB. What are you eating about 4 years ago? You laugh. But if you look at the way people act now, they act like it is ancient history. We always say these, I don't know, shit libs, whatever you want to call them. They're always trying to make, you know, every day is day zero of history. Like nothing happened before. And when you look at that, mock and ridicule it. But it's apparently pretty effective. Because people do, they think that way. I can sit here, I'm only half joking when I say ancient history of 4 years ago, because you look at the population, you look at people in general, and they all think like that. Like 4 years ago doesn't even exist to them anymore. Even people that are skeptical and critical of the narrative around us will get sucked right in, and they start mimicking the words of the narrative. They just get sucked in. Ancient history doesn't exist 4 years ago. I was thinking about, and of course, what got me thinking about this is the COVID. They're warming it back up. It's in the bullpen, warming back up. They're bringing the COVID back. The Ukraine, it's getting pulled off the pitcher's mound. Where we've got the Ukraine is out there. The manager's out there talking to Ukraine, telling him it's time for him to come off of the pitcher's mound. And you look over in the bullpen, COVID's warming back up. They're warming it back up, bringing it back out. A lot of times with this COVID, there's like, you've got these competing narratives, and I'm including narratives among our own nationalist minded people. We've got, you know, 'cause our narrative counts too. And you've got all these competing narratives when it comes to the COVID. And the narratives boil down to this, you know, from the shitlib narrative to the nationalist narrative, the government narrative, and all these narratives. And you can boil them down to pretty simplistic narratives. It's just the flu. It's just the flu, bro. Other narrative would be the original narrative the government gave us, which is it's a bat virus that somehow jumped over to people and now it's spreading like wildfire all over the world. Though I think they've kind of pretty much abandoned the bat virus narrative. It's a bioweapon developed by Anthony Fauci, the U.S. government, and the bio research was done in China and either was released or escaped from there. That's left kind of vague. Or it's a bioweapon that was developed in China by the Chinese to be released, that they released intentionally upon the rest of the world, particularly on the West, on the U.S. The Chinese released the COVID to destroy us all, because and the logical way they did that was by releasing it on their own people first. And if you point out why would they release it on their own people first, you get the whatever version of because they're evil and they're mean. You know, they don't care about their people. But I mean, really, they could have just released it over here. Not like they wouldn't have a way of getting it here. But they're evil. They're evil. And that's your COVID narratives. And you know, the one thing they all have in common is 4 years ago in ancient history, we didn't have to have these narratives. What changed? Because you go around now, you know, because the COVID is making the rounds again. We have these janky tests. And then what has changed? If you think back, what was different? Well, what was different was we weren't naming these things. It gave it life. I'm going to get into this whole thing about words and naming having power in a minute. See, y'all thought I was just going to crack jokes this whole first half, and now I'm being all serious. See, you never know what you're going to get with this show. They name them. You know, I know people in my life, and people, and you do too, and they're skeptical, and they're right on board. They're right on board, and they understand. And then you'll talk to them, and they'll say, I got COVID. Or I don't know, my relative has got the COVID. They caught the COVID. People tell you they caught the COVID. But what would you have said 4 years ago? You would have said there's a bug going around. And man, have I been sick. No, really. That's what you would have said. If this was 4 years ago and the exact same scenario is going on right now, only it was 4 years ago. You say, whoa, man, I got a bug and I got really sick. I went to my doctor and he said, well, I can't really give you anything. It's viral and you're just going to have to get over it. Take Tylenol, get plenty of rest and you'll get over it. It's a bug going around. Everybody's getting it. It's going to be pretty hard to avoid. It's just spreading like wildflowers. No, spreading like wildflowers. I like that. It's spreading around and you're just going to get over it. It's going to get over it. But it would have been any different. You wouldn't know anything different. You know? But yet, what has changed? Now we name them. We don't just have a bug going around. Now you've got COVID. And people like to bring, I don't know, because it sounds more dramatic, I guess. I got COVID. Oh my gosh, I hope you're not going to die. I got COVID. People ask me, have you caught the COVID yet? No, because I do. I have people ask me real life. I talk to real people, believe it or not. I don't just live like a hermit. And people say, hey, have you got the COVID yet? And I'm like, I wouldn't know. I'm not going to go do the test. Now, in all honesty, I did have the test one time. Not voluntarily, because when I had to go in for my cancer surgery, they made you take the test before, like the day before the surgery. You had to go get the swab up your nose. One of the most uncomfortable, horrible feelings, by the way. You had to go get the test. That was the only time. Have I been sick? Yes. Have I had the COVID? I don't know. I don't go get the test. You know what I tell people? I got a bug that's going around, apparently. Man, I don't feel good. I refuse to give the bug a name. I'm just sick. I just caught a bug. It's been going around. Yeah. It's amazing. It's like somehow it's different now. 4 years ago didn't exist. That was ancient history. It's as detached from our world today. 4 years ago is detached from our world today in the mind of the general public as ancient Phoenicia was, as the Byzantine Empire was. It's just as detached, and that is what they want. They want every day to be day zero of history because you can change things day by day and it works. Look, I don't like it. It's a lie. It's wicked. It's evil. But it works. Why? Because words have power. I'm going to do my best not to start preaching early this week, but I'm going to tell you this without preachy, being too preachy. So bear with me. Words have power. Words, you can, in a sense, words have the power to speak things into reality. Bear with me. I'm not going off into cuckoo la la land here. Bear with me. I'm going to give an example and this is going to make sense for you. I have faith in the listeners. You can speak things into an existence, and COVID is that. You know, yes, one person speaking thing doesn't have the power, doesn't have the power to speak something into existence. But when you get millions of people repeating the same things and hearing the same things, it has the power to speak something into existence. Why does COVID exist? It exists because the people speak it into existence, because they've heard it so many times and then they themselves repeat it. That's why now it's not the reality of, I've got a bug. I hope I get over it soon. Everybody I know has had the same bug and you get really sick. Now it is, I have COVID, and now COVID exists because it exists in the psyche of the populace. It exists because they speak it into existence. I have COVID. I'm really sick. It's a more dramatic thing than as if I had a bug. Or at least it is. It's real in my mind. It's real in my mind. It's, they've spoken it into reality. It becomes a reality into the psyche of the people because they've heard it enough times. It's been repeated by enough people enough times. It is probably more dramatic for somebody that suddenly when you say, I have COVID, it has a more dramatic effect on your own mind because your mind, you're telling yourself, I have something more serious than a bug that's been going around. It is a more powerful, has a more ominous effect on your mind. This is one of the ways that they derive power, that those who rule over us, this is one of the ways that they have power over over the people. And yes, it does. It really comes down to a spiritual matter, but it is. I mean, it's an observable thing. They speak things into reality. There's a lot of parallels, and others have drawn these parallels. But I, too, have seen this parallel between this and AIDS. They spoke AIDS into existence. Did you know, and I read this many years ago, but the scientist, the researcher who was credited with discovering the HIV virus, maintained that it had nothing to do with AIDS. He said, well, yeah, I discovered this HIV virus, but it doesn't have anything to do with AIDS. He said it was sexually transmitted, and he said it amounted to like a viral cold that your body would fight off in about a week to 10 days. But he said it had nothing to do with AIDS. Now, this was at a time way back, I believe this was been the 90s, yes, when the censorship wasn't at the level that it is now. And you know what? They censored him out of existence. He was basically unpersoned because that went against the narrative, because they were creating a new reality. AIDS, HIV, it's this HIV AIDS. And once again, too, another janky, questionable test. Do you have the HIV? HIV positive. But the actual researcher said, don't have anything to do with it. And you think about this, you know, drawing these parallels. I've said before, like I have even talked about last week, like their new bill. And you always talk about how, they always have all of this money going to these, you know, ill-defined vague things. And you're ultimately not going to know where the money went. It was the same thing with the whole AIDS thing. You see, back in the 70s, they called it GRIDS because people just said, well, which was just a blanket term, by the way. It wasn't saying that that was a different disease. They just said, well, doctors had to have a term to kind of reference to the fact that in the homosexual community, when you stick, I'm not trying to be vulgar, but when you stick everything from a penis to an entire man's forearm up to the elbow up your rectum, you're going to have a lot of immune problems. You're going to have a lot of health problems, and you're ultimately going to wind up destroying your immune system because you're destroying your body. You're going to cause rips and tears because you're doing things to your insides that were not meant to be. If you're running, gerbils up your ass, you're probably going to have some health problems. And they had this blanket term for all of these health problems, all of this destroyed immune system condition that the homosexual community had because of the activities they underwent. But you see, all of a sudden, we got AIDS. All of a sudden, it became a new thing, became AIDS. And what did they do? They spent billions and billions of dollars, billions and billions of dollars on vague terms, fighting AIDS. It's research. We were spending, umpteen billion dollars, which was more money back then than it is now, in the fight against AIDS. Anybody know where that money went? Of course not. Of course not. You always hear about some congressperson and it's like they went into Congress, and they basically didn't have a pot to piss in. And they've been in Congress this many years and now they're multimillionaires. Well, why? Well, because they made lucky stock guesses. Where did they get the money to buy the stocks to begin with? Billions. The fight against AIDS. No one knows where the money goes. It all gets handed out. It all gets recycled. They speak these things, they speak these realities, and all of a sudden now AIDS is just spoken into the existence in the it's a reality in the psyche of the people. But it's nothing new. It's not something that came from a monkey and jumped over. No, it comes from the fact that if you stick a man's forearm up to his elbow up your ass, you're going to tear up your insides. Your body is constantly trying to fight off the infections from that. And when you have like 40 different guys over a weekend doing that sort of thing to you, at some point in time, your immune system just checks out and says, I'm done with this. And you're going to die. But you see, they speak this new thing into existence, a new thing. And they gain what? Money. Power. They gain from this. It is advantageous for them. And the people ultimately wind up accepting it as a reality. Words do. They speak things into, and they get repeated enough, and they gain power over people. You can see this on an individual basis. If you're, for instance, an alcoholic, struggling to get over, your drinking problem, and you're struggling with it. And you, when you start saying out loud, when you start saying, I need a drink. When every time you have a problem in your life, your reaction is to speak it. I need a drink. It becomes more powerful the more you say it. And it doesn't matter how much you struggle against it, because every time you hear those words, I need a drink, it gains more power over you. And you ultimately lose that struggle and have to start over again. You can apply that to any sort of struggle. These words have power. And they gain. They gain power. When more people, when you've got people saying the same thing over and over again, and it doesn't matter how ridiculous it is, because it becomes a reality in people's mind. I was talking to someone here recently that was, believe it or not, older than me. And they were talking about, back in the day, the Vietnam hoax, And it's so important to talk to people that are older than you. It really is, because it gives you perspective. Younger people look around at clown world and think all this shit is new. They think all this stuff is new, but it's not. It's the same thing. It's just the same thing. And anyway, this person was telling me that, he knew a guy that was going to have to go over to Vietnam. And he was talking to the guy before he left about it, about how he felt about it. And the guy said, well, I really don't want to go. But, I'm going to go do my duty, because if we don't fight them over there, we're going to have to fight them over here. Now, we can look at that in perspective and say, well, that was really stupid. Essentially, thank you for your sacrifice, because otherwise we'd be speaking Vietnamese today. It sounds silly, doesn't it? Ultimately, they did an Afghan-style withdrawal from Vietnam, and what changed for the average American as far as their day-to-day life? Well, nothing, because it was all bullshit. But you see, that's what they were telling people at the time. We got to fight them over there, or we'll have to fight them over here. And guess what? When we came to post-9/11, fast forward, post-9/11, September 11th, What were they saying? We got to go over there. We got to fight them over there. We're going to fight them over here. It was the same thing. They speak the power into existence. They speak it into the existence in the minds of the people, into the minds of the populace. We just say it over and over again. The people start regurgitating the slogans. Well, I don't really want to go, but we got to fight them over there. Otherwise, we're going to have to fight them over here. Like you're going to be fighting the Viet Cong in South Dakota. Is that a Viet Cong village? I don't know. It could just be a barn, you know, some farmer's barn or something. But we better napalm it just to be sure, because that's what it looks like if we're having to fight them over here versus fighting them over there. It's absurd. It's silly, but it has power because the people have heard it enough times and then they just repeat it and it gives it much more power. It gives it that much more authenticity. In a lot of ways, that's what marketing is. You know, and you see these things, you know, that's why these companies, these corporations have slogans, they have jingles, and they're supposed to get caught in your mind, you know, and you're supposed to say them. McDonald's, I'm loving it. You're supposed to have that stuck in your mind, the jingle in your mind. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And you speak it out loud and everybody speaks it out loud. We're all loving it. It tastes like shit, but I'm loving it. I don't even know what's in this supposed meat patty, but I'm loving it. Government operates the same way. Why do you think they come out? This is why the media and the government work is like one entity, you know, and we're not supposed to question that or be curious as to how that is. Like it's so curious that they all just have the exact same thing. They regurgitate the same lines. You can see them say the same things over and over, and they're trying to get that going. And sometimes it doesn't work. You know, sometimes they can't. It is the marketing research isn't good enough. The slogan, the jingle isn't catchy enough. They get stuck in people's minds. They keep regurgitating our democracy and our values. And it's caught on with some people. Like there's blue check marks on Twitter that will sit there and regurgitate. But you don't really see people in your day-to-day life. You know, like people in your day-to-day life will talk about, I got the COVID. But you don't see them talking about, we got to fight them over there for our democracy, our values, and who we are. You don't really see it catching on with people. Doesn't seem to be gaining any traction, but that's why they do it. You see them and they'll say it. And it doesn't matter who in the government or who in the media. They're regurgitating the same thing. They're trying to get it to catch. Because if everybody starts saying it, if they can get the populace to all start saying it, then it becomes a reality. It becomes an existent. It comes to exist in reality because they spoke it. Of course, it's all a lie. When I say it exists in reality, I mean it exists in the psyche of the people. Saying we have to fight the Vietnamese over there, so we're not fighting them over here. I mean, it's an obvious lie, but it was real in the minds of the people at the time. They do the same thing now. We got to go, you know, and like I say, post September 11th, you know, 9/11. They use that term, 9/11. And I say it, I speak it. 9/11, because we all use that marketing slogan, 9/11. It's an emergency. That's why we've got to let them pass that. We got to applaud the Patriot Act because it's for the terrorists. It's totally not going to be used against us, even though now we come to today and we see it is being used against the people here. It always was intended to be. It was the same line. We got to go fight the Taliban in Afghanistan over there in Iraq. Otherwise, we're going to be fighting Osama bin Laden here in Maine. Here in Kansas, there's an Al-Qaeda stronghold just outside of Topeka. Because we didn't fight them over there, we're having to fight them over here. The people repeat it, it gains traction, it becomes reality in the minds of the people. Yes, it's a lie. It's not truly reality. It's not truth, but it's reality in the minds of the people. And the people will go along with whatever. They're going along with the lie because it's become a reality in their mind because everybody's repeating the same lie. I love watching them try to do that now. It's for our democracy and our value and our freedom. You just look. Just look. That's what we call them, narratives. They say these narratives, and when they catch on, when they get people on board with them, you know, they become implanted. The people get to repeating. That's when they get real power. Circle back. I was just sitting there thinking, because the show was totally random, by the way. I'm sorry. It is like that. If it's like it's your first time listening, you're like, well, it seems like an okay show, but it's very random. It's like this every week. This isn't an exception. This is the rule. Circling back, though, talking about how, like, you know, the vague funding thing. You know, and I was talking about that with the AIDS. You know, we're spending umpteen $1 billion on fighting AIDS. Oh, that's vague. Where's the money going in particular? Will we see an accounting on this? Of course, we will not. You know, I was thinking, it reminded me of the quote that you see is, you know, democracy only lasts as long as until the people realize that they can vote money out of the public coffers. Vote money out of the public coffers for themselves. And the insinuation here is the people. You know, like, this is why a direct democracy is bad, because you're going to have the whole population say, we're going to vote ourselves a whole bunch of money that we ourselves are paying into the public coffers. We're going to give ourselves that money back and even more money. You see, that's why democracy is evil. That's why we have this better system of our modern democracy. Or as the conservatives like to say, we're a constitutional republic, buddy. Don't you know anything? We're not a democracy. But the same thing applies, doesn't it? You see, under our current system, however you wish to define it, however purposely vaguely defined that it is, it's the same principle. You see, they're voting money out of the public coffers. It's just not going to the populace at large. It's going to that 1% that you hear about. You hear about the 1%. You used to not hear about them. It's like, how did they become the 1%? Where did they suddenly get all that money to where they own everything? Well, a certain amount of that money came from vague things like, we're fighting AIDS. You know, all of the countless trillions of dollars that were spent on vague terms like education and infrastructure. That's how all of a sudden you wind up with this 1% that has all the money and own everything. All that money got shuffled. You see, in our current system, it's the same rule. They can vote money out of the public coffers. It's just, you're supposed to be distracted with this idea that that means everybody is trying to get a cut of the tax money. It's not the way the system's designed to work at all. You see, it's designed to work where the 1% gets money voted out of the tax, out of the coffers, out of the tax funds. They get the money. Even better, the government borrows the money so that they get the money. And guess what? They're the ones charging the government interest on the money that they're borrowing, that they are getting. What a scam it is. I would take the horrors of direct democracy where the people can just vote themselves money out of the public coffers. I would take that any day. Instead, we have this current system, which works to where, well, you have this elite group of people that loan the government money at interest, and then the government turns around and gives that money to them to make them richer while they're drawing interest on the money that they got. It's America, buddy. It's our democracy. It's our values. It's who we are. We're a constitutional republic, and don't you forget it. Yes, it's much better. Slogans. It's all slogans. They speak it into a reality. They get everybody repeating it. And nobody notices what's actually going on around them, because they're all too busy chasing these other things. Chasing this other gibberish around. It's an amazing thing to behold. And meanwhile, everything just keeps getting worse and worse. And everybody acts like, well, why, you know, things have got to turn around. But things can't turn around when nobody's even remotely focused on what's real, on what's actually real, on what's truth. The government's not working on making things better. They're working on the next line of bullshit to sell you. The new fake reality to get you to start getting implanted into the public psyche. So they'll all start repeating it and believe it. People have no connection to history. Have no connection to history from a couple of years ago. Hell, yesterday. People would point out that, you know, they originally said, don't bother with a mask. It doesn't do anything. Then they said you have to wear these special masks. And then they were like, no, put an old t-shirt over your head. And everybody's already forgotten about that. Today is a new day. It's a new dawn. Everything started today. And the people that think that way, a people that believe such a thing, they'll believe anything. And there's no connection to their past. When you can get caught lying, when the government can get caught lying and bullshitting and just committing all of these acts of corruption, manipulation, and get away with it because next day we're on to something else. You know, that's big news today. Nobody cares now. Look back, the older you get, the more things you can look back on that were a big deal all over the news at some point in time. And now nobody cares. Because the next day, no one cared. Because they were onto a new narrative. There was a new marketing slogan. there was a new clever jingle. We got to get into the Christian specific segment. It's that time again, folks. So again, if you're new, hope you'll stick around for it one way or the other. It's always a fun discussion. Yes, that's right. The party goes on. We just get a little more preachy with it. We just go into things now from a more Christian centered perspective. So you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. And as we journey off into the Christian specific segment this week, we return once again to the listener supporter mailbag. Grandpa Dan, I was thinking about an idea for the Christian message. Noah. Knowing the truth can get us labels such as crazy or conspiracy theorists or any number of insulting labels. The Bible doesn't say it for sure, but I have to imagine Noah got quite the insults for spending huge amounts of time and effort building that boat. If one of us did a huge project like that and had stories about an impending flood, they would want to lock us up in a mental institution, year in, year out, working, toiling away while others mocked him for being crazy. Up until the waters came, if Noah had just ignored God's truth, he would have had an easy life. But that instant when everyone could see he was right, all of his toil and enduring all the criticism of those around him finally paid off. I know you've talked about life being a test and place we can grow into the next one, but I'd like to think that in addition to that, knowing the truth might make us a target for problems. It also might give us a chance to sidestep some danger, like, say, for instance, the shots, your brother in Christ, and that's from Mike. And of course, much appreciated. It's always nice to have a suggestion for a Christian-specific segment. And you would have to think that those around at the time probably did. They probably did think he was a bit of a crazy man. I mean, just think about it. Some guy out here, nowhere near any sort of huge body of water, starts building this giant wooden ship. He starts building this huge ship and getting prepared for what? I mean, he would have just simply looked crazy. Now, obviously, we're not going to go over the entire, but most people are more or less familiar with the story of Noah. Obviously, you can find that in Genesis 6 if you want to read it and refresh yourself. It is an interesting story. I thought we'd start off. I did want to read like just one verse, basically leading up to it, because talking about bringing up Noah, you know, the comparison, focusing on the comparison and drawing parallels, I guess, is what I want to say. To the time of Noah and the time and our time now and the things, you know, like you say, facing criticism, being mocked, being called names. And like I said, it doesn't specifically talk about that in the book of Genesis. But as you say, it's not hard to imagine. But yet he stayed focused, what? On the truth. This is coming. You imagine the people would be saying, oh, well, you're a fool. What are you doing? Ah, ha, ha, everybody just go by. It probably would become kind of like a tourist attraction. Go by and see the boat that the crazy guy is making. But see, he focused on the truth, stayed focused on the truth, what he was supposed to do. God gave him the instructions and he's just following out the instructions. Don't listen to this and just do your job. Just focus on it. Now, the one verse I thought we'd read from this account is Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now understand, elsewhere in the Bible, and we'll get to that here in a minute, comparisons for our times and Noah are also made. I mean, we're not the only ones, I guess what I'm about to say, we're not the only ones making those, drawing those parallels. And like I say, I'll get into that here in just a minute. But what really stands out to me is this verse here. Thoughts of men were on evil. Thoughts of men, the wickedness of man, I'm sorry, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Not just sometimes, continually. Men were just focused on nothing but wickedness and evil. Now, says elsewhere in the account, it speaks of violence. There was continual violence on the earth. There was great violence among men. There was just constant violence, constant wickedness. Their hearts were on evil all the time. I think this gives us a bit of a metric to go by, a bit of a metric to gauge things by, how much men's hearts are set on evil. I mean, men will set their hearts on evil. Men will commit wickedness. This is all through the history of man. This is nothing new. But there does seem to be indicated here a tipping point where that's all man thinks about, by and large. Obviously, Noah wasn't, but by and large. Again, you see this in the story of Lot. Everyone around him is just doing all of this wickedness and all of this evil until God says, I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. Now, yeah, Lot was living out, see, he was living in the city amongst all of these people. And God said, get out. Because I'm wiping all these guys out. You got this little handful, this little remnant. In the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, that he came out because he was just the remnant. You see that theme all through. The remnant comes out. The remnant is saved and the rest are destroyed. In the book of Genesis, we see that Noah and his family represent the remnant that comes out and the rest are destroyed. So we can see that there is this tipping point, not just men doing evil, not just that there's wicked and evil men. There's not just that there's violence on the earth. Again, that's just the history of man. Go all the way back to the story of Cain and Abel. It didn't take long for murder to be invented. It was invented quite quickly. Violence, wickedness. This is a common theme, but there's this tipping point all the time. That's all their hearts, that's all they can imagine. Wickedness and evil, violence all the time. We look around our clown world today, and it does ring somewhat, it does ring similar, doesn't it? It's like the hearts of men are full of wickedness and evil, plotting schemes all the time. Lies are continuously flooding across us. I mean, it's just a constant. We're drowning in a sea, a flood of lies all the time. People are, where's the righteousness? Well, there's a remnant, sure, but that doesn't reflect of men as a whole, of mankind as a whole. It's like their thoughts are on violence and wickedness all the time. It's like you reach that tipping point. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's like they just got to see how far they can push it. And you can see that now. Now, as I said, we weren't the only ones making this comparison. If we fast forward, we go to Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. This is Jesus speaking. And he's talking about the end days. He's talking about the end days. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I find this interesting because he says, you know, because everybody always pictures like Jesus shows up when everything's a big burning pile of rubble and nothing's left. But that's not what he says here, is it? He says, you know, people are still going to, on a certain level, be going about their lives. They're still going to be doing these things. Now, we already saw in the book of Genesis that the hearts of men were on evil and wickedness all the time, continuously. Their minds were on evil and wickedness. Yet, we're told here that they were giving in marriage. They were going about their lives to a certain extent while doing that. So there was a certain amount of functioning society still left in the time of Noah. And Jesus says in end time, there's going to be something resembling a society left, but it just has already reached that tipping point. If it's as in the days of Noah, as Christ has said here, then what does that tell us? It tells us that people's hearts and minds will be on wickedness and evil continually. We look around clown world today, and what do you see? Because I can tell you what I see. Wickedness and evil encroaching in the hearts, coming out of the hearts of men all the time. I kind of want to keep going through Jesus's words slowly here and making this comparison. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And it never occurred to them, maybe he's right. And we're making comparison. We're drawing parallels to what we see around us today. It never occurred to them that he might be right. They never went up to him and said, So what got you thinking about this? So what prompted you? They just looked at it and it was just like it was just pure craziness, and they dismissed it as that. They weren't inquisitive. They weren't wondering at all what the truth is, because they didn't care. Their hearts and minds were too busy being centered on what kind of wickedness, what kind of evil, what kind of violence can I commit today? What kind of blasphemy can I commit today? What kind of evil? What kind of wickedness? That's all. They were just consumed with it. It's all they could think about. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They just go on their way. I mean, what would have happened? What would have happened if one of them would have come up to Noah and said, hey, you know what? Maybe you're right. If this happens and this flood comes around, you want to let me on the boat? We never read about Noah having to deal with that and having to go and ask God, hey, this guy says he wants to come too. Because again, it never dawned on them. Now, it's quite possible that when the flood came, a bunch of them went up there and tried to get on, beating on the side of the boat, wanting in. But see, then the door was shut. It was too late for them. The time of the disaster and the calamity. And that's so often how it is, isn't it? They'll mock you and they'll say, oh, you're a fool, you're a crazy man, you're all of these things. But then if you prove to be right, and the disaster comes upon, then all of a sudden, yeah, they want in. They want on board with the program a little late. And that's how it is with life. The listener, you know, referenced how we talk a lot of times here about, you know, we grow here as much as we can for the eternal life. Because just as in the days of Noah, these things are all connected, are all reflective of one another. Just as in the days of Noah, when the flood came, then it was too late. Your time, when people's lifetime is the time. This is the opportunity you get to see that the flood is coming. Because the flood is coming. Death is coming. And when you die, then it's too late. You can't get in the ark. You were supposed to build the ark of your eternity in this life. And you wasted the whole time. Why? Because your heart was just full and just focused on wickedness and evil all the time. I hear people that are unbelievers, and I say, one of the things I have a real problem with Christianity is that a guy can just go through his life and just be the worst wicked and evil person. And then right before they die, they can say they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they magically get into heaven. Like God can be tricked by a word game. Doesn't work like that. You don't get to just magically have an ark and it appears. You have to put in the work. You're building the ark for your eternal, your voyage to eternity, as it were. You can't just not build the ark and then it appears. Noah had to put in the work. He had to put in all this work to build this giant boat to save his life. When death comes, the flood comes for us all. At some point in time, we leave this world. We got to build the ark. That's what we're doing. We're ark building. We got to put the effort in. You don't get people who go through life and their whole, they don't build the ark. Why? Because their mind is only focused on the things of this world continually. Evil, wickedness. And what? Without warning, the flood comes, because it can come without warning. You might live to be really old and your health deteriorates to the day that you know death is right at your doorstep. But you know what? For a lot of people, they get up and they think they're going to work. They get hit by a truck. They get in a bad car wreck. They have an accident. They slip in the tub and hit their head. And just poof, like that, the flood comes for them. And they didn't build an ark. They weren't ready. They didn't do anything. Why? Because they were too busy thinking about the next wicked thing, thinking about evil, wickedness. They didn't do any time. They didn't have any time for ark building. Now, getting back to drawing, continuing to draw on these parallels. Supposing that he was mocked and ridiculed. Because as the listener says here, it's not hard to imagine. I'm sure it did look crazy. And amongst all their mockery and their ridicule and laughing, and they probably had a line of jokes, you know, about Noah the crazy guy. But you see, none of that mattered, because at the end of the day, it always comes back to truth versus lies. whether it looked crazy to them or not, and I'm sure it did, especially considering that their minds were focused on nothing but wickedness and evil continually, regardless of what it looked like to them, regardless of how crazy it seemed, at the end of the day, when the flood came, it was revealed who was in truth and who was not. Who was focused on truth, who was pursuing a truth, and who was pursuing a falsehood. Noah was simply focused on the truth, which was, you got X amount of time and this is coming. He stayed focused on the truth. You see, it was truth versus falsehood. Those around him whose minds were continually filled, focused on wickedness and evil all the time, they were like, well, things are going to just keep going like they've always gone. But see, they were wrong. They were focused on a lie. It was not the truth. It was going to come to an end. As improbable as that seemed. And they just hear a story about a great flood coming. They're looking around. It's like, yeah, right. But it didn't matter what it appeared. The truth is what it was. And he was focused on truth and stayed focused on that truth and didn't get swayed from it. Those who were focused on the lie, it ultimately destroyed them because they weren't prepared for it. And the flood came. Likewise, as Christian believers, we talk about the return of the Son of Man. We just read Jesus' words saying, this is what it's going to be like when I return. It's going to be like the days of Noah. They're going to be looking around going, hadn't seen Jesus yet. Still waiting on Christ? Oh, why are you putting up with persecution and being called names and ridiculed and mocked and everything else? He hadn't showed up yet. Ha! But he said, it's just like in the days of Noah. So what do we got to do? We got to do like Noah. We just got to stay focused on the truth. Yeah, them people were mocking and laughing and ridiculing and everything else, but they weren't when the flood came. They were probably beating on the side of the boat going, let us in. No ride for you. Wasn't Noah's to give them anyway if he wanted to. He was just following the truth. God said, this is for you and your family. Get on board. Shut the door. Don't let anybody else in. We're working on our own spiritual arc here. We know the truth, regardless what they say. Oh, that's not going to happen. Things will just keep going on. It's the same thing they would no doubt been saying then. He says there's going to be a big flood. Where is it? It's been years he's been working on this thing. Still don't see a flood. Ha! Things are just going to keep going like they always have. As Jesus said, they were giving marriage and going about their daily lives, planning for the future. Giving in marriage and being given in marriage indicates they were planning on things to go on. They were planning on a future. You're not getting married if you figure life's going to end tomorrow. They were just going on. They just assumed things would go like they've always gone. And so it is now. So it is in the end days. They assume it'll just keep going. Well, where's this return of Christ y'all always talking about? Where's this resurrection? Where is all of the... It's just going to keep going. It's just... Things just keep going. Mock and ridicule. What do we got to do? We just stay focused on truth. We're just building our arcs. Doesn't matter what they're saying. We're building our arcs. Getting ready. We know the time is coming. We know we don't know when the day is, but when the rain starts falling... When the rain starts falling, your preparations better be ready. I'm really glad the listener brought us this idea of this parallel, because the more I go through it, I mean, it's not like I sat around and wrote this out and it's scripted, as you could probably tell. We're winging it all the way through. But the more we go through this, the more we talk about it and we think about it and we draw these parallels, the more I like it. If it is like the days of Noah, and that is confirmed, that's not us just saying, yeah, you know, it probably is like Noah. Jesus himself said, as in the days of Noah, this is how it's going to be. The parallel is real because Christ confirms it. Once again, Christ confirms what is told to us in the Old Testament. The New Testament confirms what is in the Old Testament. Yes, as in the days of Noah. And if it's as in the days of Noah, what do we got to do? We got to do what Noah did. Stay focused on the truth. Pay no mind when they ridicule you, call you names. You know, say that you're crazy or extreme or whatever labels they want to hang on you. We're building our arcs because the flood is coming. The last laugh is when the flood comes. And I can assure you, it is coming. Is Christ going to return in our lifetimes? I think it's more likely, personal opinion. I have to say that. Personal opinion, more likely than not, yes. But the flood is coming regardless. When we die, the flood has come. Have you got your ark ready? Because Christ's return, you return to Christ. When eternity comes and knocks, when death comes for us, whether it's on an individual basis or God says that's enough with this whole mankind experiment on earth, and we happen to still be alive, when that time comes, we got to have our arks built. We got to copy the ways of Noah. Stay focused on our truth. It doesn't matter what they say, because when the flood comes, it's too late. You're going to whip together a raft and stay together. Really, we picture they were all swept away in the flood. You know, some of them might have run around and found some wood or something and threw them together raft, but it didn't matter. They didn't have any food and they perished. They're trying to float around on a piece of driftwood. That's miserable for a day or so. We got to stay focused on the task at hand. We got to stay focused on the truth. The truth is the truth. You had two sides there. Noah, which was focused on truth, that there is a flood coming. And everyone else. Okay, everyone else. Well, that's hard when everyone else says something else. So people were wired to go along with society to fit in. You're the one guy building an ark. Everyone else says things are going to be just like they are. We're planning ahead for things being like they are. We're marrying and giving in marriage. We're planning on a future where everything stays the same. But only one of the two could be true. If you didn't know this story and you just appeared at the time and you said, okay, you're presented this. You got this crazy guy over here building a boat. And you got these people that say things are going to continue. And again, you didn't know any of the context and you had to guess which side is correct, because only one can be true. As improbable as it might have seemed, Noah was the one focused on truth. There's only one singular truth. Those and everyone else around him, what they were focused on was not true, that things would continue regardless of what it looked like. Didn't matter what it looked like. Didn't matter what it looked like things were going to do. There was only one truth, and the truth was the flood was coming. And I'm telling you right now, the truth is the flood is coming. The return of Christ is coming. Whether it comes when you individually leave this world in death, or when he does return and God wraps up this experiment with man, which is coming. Because why? We look around the world today, and what do we see? The hearts of men are set on wickedness and evil all the time, continuously. That is a sign. It's a, where are the signs? It's supposed to be the end days. I scratch my head. Well, let's see. Their hearts are full of wickedness and evil, violence in the world all the time. Not just it exists. That's history of man. But we've reached this point where it's all the time. It's all around us. What sort of new degeneracy can we come up with? What sort of new form of violence can we commit? What more way can we kill people? What more way can we bring about a yet another level of blasphemy, wickedness, evil all the time? It's coming. It's coming. Whether it comes when we leave this world or whether it comes when Christ returns and God ends this entire experiment and says, that's it. Your time for ark building is over. And all of you people out here that said it was going to just keep going like it's always been going and mocked those who focused on truth and stayed building their arks, you will be wiped out by fire, a flood of fire, cast into hell. Too late. A piece of driftwood, you can throw together a piece of driftwood. You're going to hell. You had your chance. You focused on wickedness, lies, and evil all through this life. And now it's over. It's too late to build the ark. Anyway, thank you again to the listener for bringing us that. As we started off into this, I was kind of like, I'm not sure. I mean, yes, I can see the parallels here. And we put together, you know, some verses kind of make those parallels, and I honestly was kind of like, well, I don't know. I mean, it seems like a good parallel. Why not? I'm always open. I always like It's like the challenge of thinking of these things, you know, getting something and looking at it. But like I say, as we went through it, I think it was really an interesting discussion and to look at these things and to see the parallels and to see once again the New Testament confirming and backing up what is in the Old Testament, how it all comes together. So again, thank you for bringing us that topic. And like I say, I hope y'all got something out of it and might give you something to continue to think about as we move along with the rest of your week. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get on out of here. I'm glad you could join us this week. Hopefully you'll join us here next week, because you know, we'll be right here for the Parish of the Patriots.